yes, time is on our side, Robin Frederick. And yes, I'd like to introduce my guests now from the Schools for Climate Action. Who have we got over here?
Hi, everyone who's listening. My name is Kai Guthrie, and I'm a ninth grader. And I'm one of the founding members of the Schools for Climate Action campaign. And I'm really excited to get to speak to you all right here. And I want to thank Cows Radio for giving us this opportunity.
Yeah.
I'm Nevin. I'm a junior at Credo High School. And yeah, I'm really excited to be speaking here to everyone who's listening. And yeah.
Hi, I'm Lola Guthrie, 14 years old. I'm in eighth grade. And also, thank you so much for doing this.
Pleasure.
Hi, my name's Park Guthrie. I'm 48 years old and a sixth grade teacher.
But you're, teacher, not in sixth grade.
I'm not in sixth grade. No, I teach the sixth grade. And I'm really excited to be here.
Well, very, very interesting. When I got your press release and I saw that the way you're approaching this, and again, it really, as I said before, I think kids seem to be grasping their own power. They realize that there is power to be grasped and that you're doing it. And I think that's a wonderful thing. And so where did the inspiration for this this group come from?
Well, three of us, myself, Lola, and Park, have been members of the Citizens Climate Lobby for a few years. So we were engaged with climate action that way. And then since we're students and then he's a teacher, we were also really involved with schools, and we saw that schools had a great potential for being a place to start and spread like public will, but that potential wasn't often being realized. And so we decided to start local and try to get as many school boards in school-related institutions as we could to make statements about climate change.
And now, where is here? Where was the area that you started working in?
Well, we just started last summer, and our first project was the Sebastopol Union School District. Okay. And so you'll hear more about that in a little bit, but that was a great success. And so far, we have been working mainly in Sonoma County, but we also have some other people in alliance with us outside of the Sonoma County and all across the state.
Hmm. And also in Colorado and Cincinnati, their teams engaging their school boards.
Well, that's it. Obviously, how it's spread is the key, isn't it? It's communications nowadays. And maybe you can give us some of your background just to see where the inspiration came for you on this. Obviously, there's two of your children here, so you're pretty closely involved.
Yes, and I've also been a public school teacher for 17 years, and you know, as a public school teacher, we're what's called mandated reporters. So, part of our job is if we suspect neglect or abuse of a child, we're bound by law to speak up. You know, common sense science tells us that at best our current trajectory is intergenerational neglect, and so I think it's in our institutional DNA to speak up in a nonpartisan, respectful way and call out our better selves as Americans, and speak with an organized, unified voice, and just return common sense to the public, to the commons. So we think everyone can speak up for common sense, climate action, to protect our current and future students.
That's the thing. It's. Not like a gun, which is a sudden, immediate tragedy. This is a long unfolding event that people don't necessarily see every day. So it's hard to raise the awareness of it. So how is that done?
Well, first of all,
this is Lola, by the way.
First of all, just having one school board speak up leads to another school board speaking up. So that's, we call it the snowball effect. That's one way to raise awareness. And then also, when speaking at a school board meeting, we introduce the idea of climate change being a generational justice issue. And that people usually don't think of it that way, but once we introduce this idea, it really resonates with them. And that basically means that my generation and future generations will bear the greatest burdens of climate change, even though we are least responsible for its causes. So we think it's really important that school boards who focus on the well-being of students speak up for climate action.
That's it. Go to where the power is, isn't it? Power and the money. That's the school board. Nevin, you have a comment?
And speaking of the school boards, we recently had a meeting with Herman Hernandez, who is the board president of the Sonoma County Office of Education. And it's great to see how adults can support us, because even when, you know, some adults will say like, oh, this, we made this big problem and now you're going to fix it. But it's always amazing and wonderful when adults step in to really help us with this problem that we're facing. And so I'd just like to give him a shout out and say thank you so much, because he really supports Schools for Climate Action and he's helping us to make this a reality in Sonoma County and beyond.
Wow. Oh, excellent. That's, starting obviously in your home base, that's pretty good. But that's powerful to have already made such inroads. Now, do you have you developed a plan?
Well,
which people can get behind and support like that to the boards?
Absolutely. And I just want to go back a little bit and really thank the Sebastopol Union School Board. The first person we reached out to was Lawrence Jaffe. And there's a real distinct pattern here. When adults, elected leaders, speak with the youth about the issue of climate change, every single one that has spoken or listened to one of the youth speak about climate change, they've really been moved. It's a powerful experience. I believe it shifts paradigms, and it allows people to connect with something that's already inside of them. We know as adults that this is a big crisis, and I think as Americans, if we reflect on our history of tackling some of humanity's greatest problems head on, we have greatness in us, and we have a great tradition. We're not perfect by any means, but we have done some amazing things. And so when a youth speaks up to an adult elected leader and says, take this on, please, we can do this, something resonates, like Lola said. And so Lawrence Jaffe, Renata Brilliger, Olivia De Leon, Debbie Ramirez, Debbie Dremel, that was the Sebastopol Union School Board. And they were the first school board in the nation to come out. Other school boards had mentioned climate change as a children's issue. So San Diego Unified, San Francisco Unified, Portland Unified had very strong climate statements, but nobody broke it down as explicitly and as clearly and as powerfully as Sebastopol Union. Hmm. So they took a very courageous first step. And what we found is that every new resolution is going to come easier and easier, because the threshold for action just gets lower and lower.
I'd like to get, Lola Kai's and Nevin's thoughts on climate change. You know, what is it? What does it mean to you as a young person and looking to the future? What are you seeing in the future? What are your visions on our present trajectory?
Well, recently when we experienced the fires, that was sort of, you could imagine what the future could be like, but then getting all these resolutions after that has made it seem a lot more hopeful.
Mm.
Yeah, I'd say that one thing I'm reminded of a lot by teachers and people around me is that, you know, it's more fun, obviously, to focus on our passions and things we're really excited about. And it definitely wouldn't be my first choice to always focus on, like, how we're going to fix things and thinking about all these big questions. But I'm always reminded that, you know, if we don't work on this now, if we don't confront it, then we don't really have the option to work on things. And yeah, as Lola said, as we experienced with the fires, and there's a lot of other disasters happening related to the climate. And when things like that happen, you can't focus on all the fun things that it is to be a kid and be a teenager. And I think that's what keeps us going, is knowing that we want to focus on the things that we're actually, you know, really interested in. Right. And
exactly.
Yeah, if we don't focus on this, then we don't really have much else to look forward to.
There won't be anything else. Yeah.
Kai?
I just think that, like, inside of all the, like, the horrible predictions and what's already starting to happen with the hurricanes and the fires, there's still a lot of hope. And the hope kind of inspires, can inspire action, because you know that the action can actually make a difference. And so by focusing on the potential that we have to fix the problem, it makes action a lot easier.
Hmm. What is your pitch to a school board when you go there? What do you tell them? What are the magic words that convince them to, maybe you can convince a bunch of people out there as well?
Well, we definitely tell them about the generational justice issue. That definitely seems to get people thinking about what they could do. And then when we tell them about other school boards that have passed, they also realize they won't be like the first ones, because they're sometimes hesitant if no one's ever done that before.
Right, good point.
So when we tell them about things we've already done, and then also just like thanking them for things that they've done, like if they've put solar panels in a recent school or something like that, they like hearing that. Mm-hmm. And it's good to stay positive.
Yeah, and you bring it to their terms as well.
Exactly.
You know, it's make it personal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was a great point. And then another thing that I really want to drive home is that the resolutions we're asking for are incredibly easy on their part.
Hmm.
Because the way we see it, we already have the science, we already have the economic strength, we already have the understanding, and we even have the policies that we know we need to put in place. So all that's missing is the political will to do that. So all we're asking them to say is make a strong statement telling leaders higher up and telling everyone in the community what that board believes. And we believe that that's going to spawn this snowball effect, that all the schools rising up together can force people higher up to make real change.
Nevin?
I would say one of the things that makes this an easy thing to agree with is that, you know, anyone who pays attention to science, who pays attention to what's in the news, can see that this is probably one of the biggest problems that's going to affect our youth. And as school boards are, you know, their main job is to protect and serve youth, it only makes sense that they would be focusing on such a large issue for their children and the children they protects future.
And I just want to build on that. There are 90,000 school board members across this country.
Wow.
And it's one of the great aspects of American democracy is that, you know, so many important decisions are handled at the local level. So these 90,000 school board members are the only elected officials with a singular focus on the well-being and future success of children. And these school board members are true public servants, community-minded. They invest lots of time reading, you know, huge board packets in the evening. Mm. They're really doing tough work. Right. And there's 90,000 of them.
Wow.
And they are the grass tops local elected leaders. And when we started this campaign, we could only find 20 out of the 90,000 that had taken an official position speaking up for climate action to protect current and future students. And so there's a dynamic.
Not 20,000, 20 out of 90,000.
20 out of 90,000. Okay. Okay. And now, thanks to our campaign, that number is now 45.
Okay.
And there is a dynamic with difficult issues like climate change. It's called the spiral of silence. And Yale program on climate communications has some studies about this. But I think we can sort of understand the spiral of silence if you think about 170,000 school board meetings a year, if you think about a million faculty meetings a year. These are the adults that stand at the interface between the generations, and rarely is the word climate change ever spoken in this official public discourse, and even much more rarely is the concept of generational climate justice spoken. And so, and it's not because these people are bad people. These are great people. And these concepts are probably inside of them, but they just haven't heard them spoken in public. And so part of our mission is to just get this common private belief into the public, into the commons, into the public discourse. And in some ways, it's a really, the spiral of silence is a great problem to have, because all you have to do is open your mouth and start speaking. And, you know, that's exactly what these resolutions do. They give voice to what we found is that educators are eager to pass these resolutions because people want to protect our children. They want to speak up. They know that the common sense thing to do is to pass climate policies that will protect our children.
And obviously, a resolution is one thing. What teeth do they have? Is this just a statement of fact, or is there a way of implementing what they're doing?
Yeah, so when approaching different educators, asking them if they would pass this resolution, Park experienced actually that he presented them with an option that seemed super easy and, you know, very little teeth. And they responded by saying, no, we want something that holds us even more to a stronger resolution.
Okay.
And so, yeah, some of these, there's different options. It's like you can make it more of a suggestion thing, or the one for the resolution for the Sebastopol Union School District included points on how the infrastructure of the school is set up, the greenhouse gas emissions of the school, and things that really can be made into very specific goals for schools to meet and follow.
Yeah.
We also tell them there's a whole range of things that they can do. They can do local things, like maybe put in solar panels or have like Meatless Monday, but they can also encourage local, state, and federal elected officials to take climate action. So we tell them that they can, like, there's a lot of things they can do, and they can pick and choose between those, just as long as they're doing something.
Right. The grocery list per se of items they can accomplish within their normal scope of work. In other words,
they can. But I do want to just clarify that we should not underestimate the value of even a soft resolution that calls on all elected officials to take action on climate change. As Kai pointed out, that's actually, if our goal was to reduce greenhouse gas emissions in this country in the biggest step possible, the fastest, biggest way to do that would be for there to be climate legislation through Congress. And our plan is to get thousands of these school board resolutions, and that will help drive a paradigm shift that will help tip the needle and put Congress into action. We've seen firsthand the power of endorsements from grasstops leaders like school board members, and we're also encouraging student councils to begin to pass climate change resolutions. And even if these resolutions are endorsements, if they're declaring climate change an intergenerational justice issue, if they're calling on all elected leaders to take action on climate, if they're endorsing national carbon pricing, Just like Kai said, the only ingredient lacking for us to have a common sense climate plan as a nation is public will. And, you know, the Sonoma County school board members are blazing a trail for the rest of the. I feel certain there are 50,000 school board members out there that already agree 100% with the Sebastopol Union and the Sonoma County Office of Education resolution. So we just need to get them on board.
Yeah, and on the point of student councils, Credo High School's student council just passed a resolution. All the members signed it, pretty much saying the same things, that they're agreeing to take this on as an issue that affects our student body. And if you're a student on student council in Sonoma County or beyond Sonoma County, I would encourage you to get your student council, get your student body government involved, and without even signing a resolution, bringing up these issues in your student council, because, you know, our student councils are a reflection of a greater leadership system, and right. I just want to empower other student councils to take that action, because it's totally, totally doable.
Well, are kids talking about climate change amongst themselves? Is it a topic you just chat about or that comes up, or is it something you have to like force other kids to talk about?
It's sort of, I think it really depends. I think some kids are really motivated to talk about that, and generally people who would run for student council are the people that care about the news and things like that. So it sort of depends on the kids you're talking about, but I don't think it's unrealistic at all to have lots of student councils passing resolutions.
I would say that among young people, at least that I speak with, nearly all believe that this is a problem and believe that we need to do something about it. But there's a lot of sense of powerlessness, and there's a lot of sense of I don't know what to do, and where do we start, and how is this going to make a difference? And so this is really a great opportunity to engage a lot of people who are already for the cause but just don't really know about it yet. So we still have a while left, but I'm just going to introduce something that you, the listeners, can do. If you're interested in joining our campaign or helping us, even if it's just going to be like writing a letter or an email to a school board in support of this, there are a few steps to take. The first one would be to go to our website, all lowercase schoolsforclimateaction.weebly.com.
How's Weebly spelt?
Weebly. And so if you go to the website, we have different action items you can take. And then the other one is we're having a working summit at the Sebastopol Grange Sunday, March 11th from 2 to 4 o'clock. And there we're going to have working groups. We're going to explain our mission to new people, and we're going to be we're inviting anyone who wants to join, but particularly anyone who's involved with schools, such as school board members, parents, teachers, and students. And we're just going to try to really fire up this mission.
That sounds a great event. And here we are with students from Sonoma County, Schools for Climate Action. And we have Park, Lola, Nevin, and Kai with us here. Politics, that's a big thing in what you're doing. So how have your interactions been with local politicians, Lola?
It's good that you brought this up, because we have also been working not only with school boards, but also my brother Kai, who's here with us today, and I, we met with Linda Hopkins, who's our supervisor. She's on the Board of Supervisors for Sonoma County, and we met with her just to ask if they could make a resolution, and she was really, really receptive, and she was super supportive and motivated, and so we were really happy about that. They passed a resolution quite a while ago, so that was really great.
And just a big thanks to her and her staff and the whole Board of Supervisors, and I think that just goes to show that there are a lot of opportunities. It was very easy. We had one meeting, and then a month later they passed it. A very strong resolution endorsing a national carbon tax. So I think it just goes to show that all we need is just every time you get motivated and you write an email or you make that phone call or something and you engage these leaders, much of the time they believe the same thing that you believe and they'll be willing to help you. So you just have to take the first step.
Right. And also, I think a lot of times students don't realize how much power we have. Like, we didn't. It was so easy to set up that meeting and talk to Linda Hopkins. She was really great. Thank you so much to her. And it's sometimes students don't realize that it's not that hard to do this, and that the adults will really be motivated by you.
No, it's true. You know, politicians react to energy that comes towards them. So if you put energy towards them, they will react. You have a comment, Nevin?
Yeah, and similar to this about the leaders, it's interesting what we can see is that when there's a large shift that needs to take place, sometimes just having a small percentage of the population and a small percentage of leaders focused on that issue and really passionate about it, that can be enough to change the rest of the leaders' minds or encourage people who maybe were neutral on an issue to really take action and step in. And so I think that's really powerful. If we have even just a few school boards, it can seem like insignificant or like not enough to make a real difference. But the truth is that once a small amount really take action and raise their voice about these issues, it can inspire the rest of the leaders and the rest of the school boards and everything to follow suit.
It gives them cover, doesn't it, when other people are doing it, such bravery we have.
And I just want to build on what Nevin said. That's really been our experience with Schools for Climate Action, because Sebastopol Union passed the first resolution. The second school district was Ross Valley School District in Marin, and that there was zero direct advocacy from Schools for Climate Action on that one. We simply got an email saying somebody emailed the superintendent a blog post about the Sebastopol Union resolution, and the superintendent down there put it on their agenda with a recommendation to pass. The same thing happened with Sonoma County Office of Education. We met with Board President Herman Hernandez, and he was very encouraging. And we made a plan to engage that board over a period of a couple months. And unbeknownst to us, at that same time, Dr. Steve Harrington, the county superintendent, took it upon himself to put a commitment to climate action resolution on the agenda. And so instead of just going to speak an open comment, we realized that day that we were speaking in favor of passage, and everyone on that board was very enthusiastic. It was unanimous. Sonoma Valley Unified School District just passed a commitment to climate change action. And, you know, really, Schools for Climate Action had only a tiny bit to do with that passage. That was an internal step. So it's really clear to us that this message, especially from the youth, is resonating with Sonoma school boards. I think it does have something to do. It's, you know, just the experience we all had in October. Right. But I think Sonoma County school boards are going to blaze a trail that school boards all over the country are going to follow.
Exciting. Very exciting.
Yeah.
Our other groups you're working with, like the PTA and stuff like that, do you have any interactions with other school groups in that respect?
Mostly we were inspired by the California PTA resolution. I think it started down in San Diego, but in 2015, they passed a strong resolution calling climate change a children's issue. And we have not yet engaged PTAs. We're grassroots, all volunteer. So we would love to get PTAs involved, but we just haven't had the time. But we plan to eventually.
Right, that would be a pretty powerful alliance, that would be, I would say. You
want to talk? We're also working with some organizations like CCL, Citizens Climate Lobby.
Citizens Climate Lobby is a nationwide, primarily volunteer-driven, nonpartisan nonprofit. that's trying to lobby Congress for a national carbon fee and dividend. And so that was how we got involved with climate advocacy. And the CCL Santa Rosa, a big shout out to them because they've been supportive of us in all that we're doing. And they've been, some of them have mentored us along the way.
And one thing that is really great about Citizens Climate Lobby, it also is a nonpartisan advocacy organization, and it helped start something called the Climate Solutions Caucus in Congress. And it was a really heroic CCL volunteer, Jay Butera. He spent, he realized that we had to have a bipartisan solution, a common sense bipartisan solution to solve climate change. And he spent years looking, and he recruited Carlos Curbelo, the first Republican congressman to come out and say climate change is a very important issue for all Republicans to address, and that it's a moral imperative for us as a nation to come together around this and solve this. And so Carlos Curbelo and Ted Deutsch, also a South Florida Democrat, though. Ted Deutsch is Democrat, Carlos Curbelo is Republican. They created the Climate Solutions Caucus, and it has a Noah's Ark rule. In order to join, you have to join with someone from across the aisle. And a huge shout out to Mike Thompson. He's the representative representing Santa Rosa, and he joined the Climate Solutions Caucus with a Republican counterpart. So he's really committed to working across the aisle and finding common sense, effective solutions to climate change. We'd love to bring some of the leaders from Sonoma and especially some of the youth to talk to the Climate Solutions Caucus and help them understand climate change from a student's perspective.
Right, exactly.
So again, if you're interested in this, or if you're interested in joining our campaign, you can find our website. It's Schools for Climate Action, all lowercase, .weebly.com. And we are also having a working summit at the Sebastopol Grange on March 11th from 2 to 4 o'clock. So there you can learn more about our campaign and you can get involved.
Now, obviously, there's some, you know, pretty deep ethical questions in climate, what's happening with climate change. I mean, obviously, the biggest thing that affects it is population rise. I don't know how that figures into it in terms of, you know, when I was growing up, there was only 2 billion people. Now there's almost 8 billion people. So obviously that creates an incredible pressure on our climate. How do you approach, any approach on that side of it?
So we haven't focused on that side of the issue very much. I do agree that it's an important thing to think about and to address, but so far we've just been focusing on our core mission of building the public will for climate action in the United States.
Really what we're focused on is you know, creating a paradigm shift that's going to enable our Congress to make common sense solutions to climate change. And, you know, there are many different variations of carbon pricing that have been considered, but there is near consensus by economists and scientists that some form of carbon pricing will really reduce greenhouse gas emissions significantly. So you're absolutely right. Population does put a lot of pressure on our natural systems, but the per capita carbon intensity of the American lifestyle right now, since all of the true costs of carbon are actually externalized right now, they're not accounted for in our economic system. So a common sense carbon pricing strategy will allow the market to reflect the true cost of carbon, and that will bring down the carbon intensity of the average American lifestyle significantly.
Right, very, very good point. In terms of the things now, obviously you're going to the school boards to tell them they want, you know, you want them to change various mechanical, physical things that they can do to save energy and all those type of things and climate change. But does it also come down to kids, what they can do? How does it spread through the whole school system, basically? Where is the responsibilities for it?
So we mainly focus on school boards, but in many of the resolutions, they mention curriculum. And so if we talk to a school board, then eventually that will trickle down to the students, because the school board will maybe institute a curriculum where the climate change is taught and like solutions and things like that.
And all of this is super important and we need this. However, we think that the what's really going to solve this has to be everyone acting, and individuals oftentimes don't see how what they do is going to affect what everyone else does. So what we think is the most effective way young people can make a difference by taking action on the political and public will side of this. And we obviously want them to also like conserve energy and do all those things and learn, educate themselves mm-hmm. about it. But as far as the wide scale movement, we also certainly need the building of public will through just speaking about it and then mm-hmm. passing resolutions about it and such.
And I think what Kai is saying is that no action is too big and no action is too small. We have to work on it on the level of our personal lives and how we eat and how we do our small day-to-day actions, if we're riding our bike even a couple miles, but also not forgetting about the larger picture and, you know, doing the big things like talking to our legislators and talking to our school board members and really just hitting it on all levels. And that's the only way we're going to be able to really get things done, I'd say.
I would think so. And so really the workshop coming up March 11th, that at the Grange. So what are people going to get from that?
Well, we're definitely going to help people start groups to encourage their school boards to take climate action. Or take the next step. So if you're in Sebastopol, you know, you can learn what else you can do. If you're in, like, I don't know, another, like, Guerneville or something, mm-hmm. you can learn how to approach your school boards. And we'll just give you lots of tips on what you can do and how you can change.
Yeah.
And so there are a couple phases to this campaign. So there's... We're empowering youth adult teams to engage with their local school boards. But once their local school board passes a resolution, it's a wonderful opportunity to continue engagement and continue advocacy. School boards that pass resolutions like the Sebastopol Union resolution, that sets up an ongoing committee that does follow-up study and makes recommendations back to the board. So there's opportunity to plug into that school district and make ongoing changes.
So you can have a place at the table at their decisions.
Exactly. But the other really important factor is this idea of spreading this paradigm to other school districts. Essentially, there are 180 people in this country that currently stand in the way of national climate policy, of national climate, common sense climate policy. And those people are Congress people and senators, and they're good people.
And presidents, yeah.
And, well, actually, it's actually just Congress that we need to focus on. We don't have to, you know, and we really don't have to. Americans are common sense people. We believe in common sense. It's and so it's just common sense to act on climate change. And there's only 180 people standing in the way of national climate policy, and they're good people, and they respond to their constituents. And in every district of those 180 people, I guarantee there are school board members that have a cry of grief stuck in their throat because they can see what climate change is doing to the kids that they care the most about. And so we can give those school board members a tool they can use to articulate what's inside of them already. And I trust that if enough Americans do that, the ones currently blocking legislation can change their minds and be open to new ways of thinking. Lowell and I lobbied in the office of Tom McClintock in in June last year.
He's a tough one. Yeah.
Well, he's a good man, and he cares about children, and somehow he just hasn't gotten the information to open his thinking. Now, last year he was very disengaged when we lobbied. This year, two school boards in his district, Grasstop's leaders from his district, have passed resolutions calling climate change a children's issue. And we're going back in June, and I hope that helps open his thinking. And what would really create a drumbeat that he could hear and others could hear would be a wave of student council resolutions sweeping across the country, because they'll pay attention. I really trust that they will.
I think so.
So we're almost done. Thank you for listening to us. I hope you feel inspired. I hope you're feeling inspired for action. And a reminder of the things that you can do. First of all, you can visit our website. I've already said it a few times, but for those who are just joining us, it's Schools for Climate Action. That's all lowercase. Schools for Climate Action. Weebly.com. And on our website, you can find all our information and help join our campaign and get involved. And then we're also having a working summit at the Sebastopol Grange on March 11th from 2 to 4 p.m. And so there you can learn about it, and you can help write emails, write letters, and you can get involved and meet many other climate advocates.
Also, when you go to work or school or wherever you're going on Monday, just have a conversation with someone about climate change, because as my dad mentioned, breaking the spiral of silence is really key.
Yeah.
So just share your opinion about that there are common sense climate action that we can take to protect our children, and just have that conversation. Maybe introduce the idea of generational justice issue, introduce the idea of talking to your school boards and elected officials, because most people that we've talked to are really happy to hear about this, and they're really engaged, but they just don't know what to do. So if you have that conversation, that can start change.
Thank you, Lola. Well, wonderful. Schools for Climate Action. And thank you so much for coming in. And Park, Lola, Nevin, and Kai. And keep up the amazing work. And come back and let us know what's happening. And let's help.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. So let's go out with a bit of Marvin Gaye and Save the Children.
I just want to ask a question. Who really cares? To save a world in despair, who really cares?